The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
All right, couple of highlights from yesterday, and maybe the highlight of the weekend. I don't know. I did not see Friday or Saturday's game, but yesterday, Gage Harrelson with quite the catch in center field. That was nothing short of spectacular. I know that you've seen great plays in the outfield, but I mean, he took away a home run that probably should have been a home run from Texas.
Definitely would have been a home run if he
hadn't caught it. But he's pretty special there in center field for the Red Raiders, isn't he?
Yeah, that was a really, really nice play. I mean, obviously, there's a lot that goes into that one. It was high enough to give him time to get back there. But there's, you know, sometimes you're in a situation where you camp underneath it and you just jump up, and maybe you can't jump as high in that situation. So it takes just everything being perfect. But, you know, the trajectory of it was one that he had to be sprinting back to the wall, and he just had to leap. His momentum carries him over the wall with his glove and makes the grab. I mean, just a, you know, spectacular catch. I mean, one of those plays that every outfielder kind of dreams of having the opportunity to make that kind of play where it's hit perfectly. You have enough time to run to the wall. You have the ability to leap and get up there and all that good stuff. And if he's wearing a second baseman's mitt, not a center fielder mitt, he probably doesn't catch it. All the above. It was a tremendous play, no doubt.
So you had that one, and then how about the one that Austin Green made just a little bit later? I think it was the next inning in right field. I don't know if that was the harder catch than the Harrelson catch, but
no, Harrelson's was harder.
Yeah, but I mean it was, and they reviewed that one. I guess I'm not really sure why, because the ball never came out, but they reviewed that. A lot of reviews yesterday.
Yeah, and that was, you know, after everything that went down yesterday, there was some frustration there, because it felt like, you know, I'm all for if each manager or whatever gets two challenges a game or whatever, but when the umpires are questioning themselves, when nobody's challenged it, I wonder about things a little bit. Right after the little altercation over there at first base, and you come out and you hit a couple of home runs, and you've got all the momentum in the world going, and just right after the altercation at first base, we're going to review. And I'm not exactly sure what they're even reviewing, to be honest with you. I didn't think there was any way they were going to toss the young man. And they come out and they say, out at first base. I didn't know that there was ever a question if there was out at first base. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what it did is it just completely quieted the crowd.
Yeah.
It absolutely quieted the crowd and took the momentum away. Then you hit the couple of home runs, and then there's a play in that half inning out at second base, and they're going to review that one, okay? And again, we're just, you know, we're getting everybody riled up. We're excited. The crowd's into it. The momentum's going. And the umpires decide, nah, I'm not sure if he was safe at second base or not. Let's look at that again. Meanwhile, Texas didn't even ask for the review. It was the umpires. And so, to me, that just, like, slowed everything down. And, like, as soon as our crowd starts to get going and gets excited, we're like, hey, we're gonna quiet things down here. We're going to slow things down here, and we're going to review whether this was an out or not. Again, I want to get it right. I like having replay in college baseball, just like everybody else. But if the opposing manager doesn't call for it, I don't think we should be replaying it.
Right. I mean, you don't.
I don't think we should be reviewing it.
You don't see that necessarily. You don't see that certainly in basketball, and maybe you see that just occasionally in football, where, you know, though there's a question of whether he bobbled or something like that, or, you know, did he make the interception clean? They're just checking that. But yeah, it seemed like there were an inordinate number, and maybe one of the things that I thought they might be checking on with regard to the play at first base with Gasparino, you know, and Cash kind of, you know. you know, ran over him. I guess you could say that Cash was in the baseline and had his base back turned to the field. I mean, you know, the initial look of it looked like he was trying to throw his forearm out into his back. It looked like a bit of a cheap shot, but, you know, I guess he's in the baseline. But then, you know, people came out of the dugout from the Texas side, and they didn't toss any of those guys. I mean, mm-hmm. you had guys that crossed the line, so to speak, crossed, you know, Texas players that came out, especially their designated hitter, that crossed the third baseline, and none of that, you know, the rule is if you go on the field to play, you're out, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure. When there's an altercation, just like in, you know, South Carolina and LSU yesterday in women's basketball, they got into a little tussle, and all the girls that came off the bench for South Carolina were gone.
Right.
I mean, they finished with the five that were on the court.
Right. And and then LSU had just one on the bench, and the only reason that she didn't get tossed was because she was getting ready to get to check into the ball game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so first off, the incident at first base, you know, first and foremost, Gavin Cash, sometimes his footwork at first base is definitely awkward, and it's been part of the reason where he's not made plays. Again, going back to yesterday,
he dropped a ball
early on, a ball that he should be reaching for instead of, you know, catching with two hands at his waist, he should be stretched out for. It's awkward footwork and all that, and it leads to an error, and it leads to an unearned run. He gave up two unearned runs yesterday and lost a game by two. Okay. So Gavin's footwork is awkward. We saw it two batters earlier with O'Dowd come down the baseline on a very similar ball. And O'Dowd, you know, could see Cash was there in the baseline a little bit, and he kind of slid to the side, and they made contact with each other, but you could see both of them just kind of, you know, making sure it wasn't vicious or anything like that. And again, Gavin doesn't have a leg to stand on here, really, because he makes the catch and steps backwards into the baseline. So whatever happens to him is kind of like, that's on you, mm-hmm. okay? At the same time, this was not a bang-bang play. This was a play where Gasparino absolutely could have hit the bag and gone to the right.
Avoided
okay,
him.
And mm-hmm. avoided the contact, or at least avoided hard contact. If you see, Gavin steps back into the baseline and then all of a sudden, like, then realizes I'm in the baseline, starts moving forward. The push in the back does not push Gavin towards right field. It pushes him towards second base. Gasparino shifts his hips
yes.
and pushes Gavin into the back mm-hmm. towards second base as Gavin is trying to get out of the way. So, again, he could have avoided it, but he didn't have to, and he didn't. You know, he could have said, I'm not going to level this guy, but there clearly was a decision made that I'm going to hit him. So, but it's on Cash for being in the baseline.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Drive. Today is Monday, March the 11th, with this day in sports history, is the one, the only Jeff McGuire.
A lot of people thankful there's only one of me. Some people thinking one's too many. Today's a fun day.
We're glad to have you.
Good. I'm glad it's a fun day.
Because I get to say one of my favorite names in sports.
Yeah.
1941. Bronco Nagurski regains the world wrestling title from Ray Steele in Minnesota after losing it to him a year earlier.
Why do you enjoy saying Ray
it's
Steele
just
so much?
It's just a fun name to say. It's just fun. 1967, 14th ACC men's basketball tournament took place. North Carolina beats Duke 82-73. In 1972, the 19th ACC men's basketball tournament, North Carolina beats Maryland 73-64. 1986, NFL adopts instant replay, and no one was ever happy again. Biggest complaints we hear about is instant replay.
I know, but I mean, if you...
Biggest complaints we get are about instant replay. No one is ever happy after 1986 at this day. 1991, Monica Seles and Steffi Graf.
There were plenty of people not happy with not having instant replay. What if we could look at that?
What? You mean we got what we wanted and we didn't like it? No way. 1991, Monica Seles and Steffi Graf streak of 186 weeks ranked as the number one player. In 2020, a sign of things to come. NBA suspends the 2019-2020 season until further notice after Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert tests positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm.
That was late in the evening, too, that day.
And in 2022, Davion Warren and Kevin O'Banner score 11 points apiece to lead the third-seeded Red Raiders over Oklahoma 56-55 to move on to the Big 12 championship game versus Texas.
What was the first name?
Davion Warren.
Davion Warren.
Huh? It is National Eat Your Noodles Day. So, you know, don't let them sit there.
How many different kinds of noodles do you like?
I don't know that there's one I don't like.
Okay. Really, the only kind, it's just spaghetti for me.
I mean, they're just different, right?
They're all different shapes.
The same. Yeah. I'm pretty okay with whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there's not regatta cheese attached to it.
Okay. Well, that's not the noodles' fault. That's the regatta cheese.
I know. But those noodles, particular noodles that are usually attached to it, I don't think I could eat on anything.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
All I think of is lasagna noodles. Yeah.
I stand by my statement. I don't know that there's one I don't like. Happy birthday, Anthony Davis, 31. Johnny Knoxville, 53. Actor Terrence Howard, 55. Becky Hammond, 47. Greg Olson, 39. Bobby Abreu, 50. Sam Donaldson is 90. And Bobby McFerrin is 74. And on this day in 1779... Congress establishes the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to help plan, design, and prepare environmental and structural facilities for the U.S. Army. Made up of civilian workers, members of the Continental Army, and the French officers, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers played an essential role in the critical Revolutionary War battles at Bunker Hill, Saratoga, and Yorktown. The Corps of Engineers was then disbanded after the Revolutionary War and was reinstated in 1802. Upon its reinstatement, the Corps began its chief task of creating and maintaining military fortifications. These responsibilities increased in urgency as the new United States prepared for a second war with Britain in the years before 1812. The Corps' greatest contribution to the War of 1812 was New York Harbor. The fortifications built not only persuaded British naval commanders to stay away from the city during the War of 1812, but later served as fortifications for the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, nice.
Today, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is made up of more than 35,000 civilian and enlisted men and women in recent years. The Corps has worked on rebuilding projects in Afghanistan and Iraq, as well as the reconstruction of the city of New Orleans in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. And that is This Day in Sports History.
All right, This Day in Sports History, 6:51 this morning here on The Morning Drive. Take your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to TT973.com for that or the mobile app. Visual Edge IT hotline is open, too, at 806-771-0973. We mentioned this briefly, but I'm just curious what you think the ramifications will be of the South Carolina LSU a debacle that took place yesterday in the SEC Tournament Championship game. Fourth quarter, multiple players from both teams ejected. A fan was arrested for coming onto the court. Turns out it was the brother of one of the players.
Beautiful.
Flauji Johnson's brother, who
She's
started
the
whole
Amazon commercial, isn't she? She does the Amazon commercial with Angel Reese, I think so.
Yeah, multiple players from South Carolina arrived on the scene. Gamecock center Camilla Cardoso escalated the proceedings, decking Johnson. That's when her brother jumped the bench, the scorer's table, and got onto the court. It's kind of an impressive leap by him.
What are you doing? You're going to go down there and fight a girl?
Well, I think he's going. Yeah, right. No,
what are you doing?
I don't know what he was doing.
I mean, it's two basketball players going at it. Okay, right. That's what you do.
Right. One.
Okay.
Somebody punched her. Right,
you're going to run down there and fight a girl?
I don't know how close he was, but he was. He got close. He was later escorted by police in handcuffs and arrested. After a long review, the referees called an intentional foul on Johnson, ejected Cardoso for fighting, and then players from both benches were ejected because they left the bench. The only one who wasn't was one that was going to check in. So Cardoso is going to be suspended for the first round of the tournament, but all other players ejected for leaving the bench will not face a suspension. That's what's kind of curious to me. Only one's going to get suspended for the first round of the NCAA tournament.
I mean, if that's the rule, that there's not an automatic suspension, I guess it's all right.
Yeah. Man. Don Staley apologized for the whole situation, which was, it was ugly, right? Ugly.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thank you for being with us today on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. The Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app, presented by Happy State Bank for that. Visual Edge IT hotline is open as well at 806-771-0973. This is exciting. It's time again for the Double T 97.3 Regional Spelling Bee. This is the 72nd annual. It's presented by Optimum. If you want to see the actual bee itself, it'll be March the 23rd at the YWCA. We're showcasing spelling champions from across the South Plains. I got to witness one of those, local championships take place at over at Lubbock Cooper West Elementary School, so that was pretty cool. They'll have an opportunity to compete for the Regional B Champion, and that winner will earn a trip to Washington, D.C. for the National B. Double T 97.3 and Optimum salute our Spelling B Champions. Now, coming up at 7:45-ish, about right after the boom, 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 Jamie will challenge me with a spelling word each morning for the next 2 weeks. So that's 10 words over the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think can I get more right than wrong this year?
I bet you will.
6-4? Could I go 6-4? And then the Tech Talk guys will do that as well around 4:45. So we shall see.
We should make a note of this for next year, Jamie. And we figure out the words early. And just work them into casual conversation with Chuck so he keeps hearing the words and hearing the words and hearing the words so that when he has to spell the word, he might have a better shot at it.
Mm.
I don't usually come up with the words till 3 or 4 minutes before it's time for Chuck to spell.
It would take some work on our part.
It takes some
kind of more fun that way. Chuck might send somebody to break into my office, get the sheet with the words.
When Choice Woodman is changing clothes in there, maybe.
Yes. probably kind of things that presidents do, right?
Yeah, right.
Get the inside secrets.
Right.
They're allowed to study a word list.
Yeah.
They get the whole packet of words.
Yeah. This my grandson's little league team got to run out with the Tech players. He got to run out with Washburn. He was excited. I'm not sure which Washburn. I'm guessing the one that plays in the field, because it could have been Jack, who was pitching yesterday, right?
Could have been either one.
Yeah, or it could have been Owen. Somebody says, this Baylor beat Iowa State, a higher seed we lost to. I think that's the tiebreaker for third and fourth. Oh, it's among them, but that's probably the key one. That's probably why Iowa State had to. But again, everything that I saw was Iowa State had to beat K-State, which was that was an upset on Saturday with K-State defeating Iowa State, and that game was in Manhattan. But still, I mean, it kind of gives you pause a little bit when you look at the the bracketologists, they both, Jerry Palm and Joe Lunardi, have 9 Big 12 teams in. I still question that. So that was a surprise, 65-58. So Houston had clinched the Big 12 title by the time they played Kansas. I wondered going into that game, like, okay, what's, you know, how motivated are they? They were pretty motivated. They won by 30, 76-46.
They were definitely motivated.
They were definitely motivated. Mm-hmm. So their first year in the Big 12, they win. They win the basketball championship, at least the regular season, and now they're on to Kansas City as well. Really good game between Texas and Oklahoma. I say really good. Oklahoma lost by 14 to Texas. So it kind of makes me wonder about, are they a bit of a bubble team? It doesn't appear. And then UCF, man, I bet you they're wondering, boy, if we could have just beaten some of the teams that we should have beaten, we might have had a shot. They finished 16-14, but they sure did cause some teams some problems in the Big 12. So I don't know what their future is like.
Yeah,
but they certainly caused some problems. And then I'm curious about West Virginia. There was this report that they had a handshake deal with the James Madison coach. Now there's reports that the Drake coach could be up for that job. Drake won their conference postseason tournament, so they're headed on to the NCAA tournament. And apparently the Drake coach has a son that's got 2 years of eligibility left. So you get the coach plus the son, apparently.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so that's
a little bonus action.
That's the package deal. And then BYU with a dominant win over Oklahoma State, 85-71. It'll be interesting to see what the future is for Mike Boynton there in Stillwater. You know,
don't feel great about it.
Do they move on or do they keep him?
I hope they keep him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seems like a nice guy.
I hope they extend him. Like for eternity.
Yeah. He also is not winning a ton, so that's great.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's kind of the basketball wrap as far as the men are concerned. And you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot of meat left on the bone. For the Red Raiders. They honored Warren Washington before the ball game yesterday. He's still in his boot because he's a senior. Joe Toussaint as well. I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine as to whether he'll play in the Big 12 tournament.
Here's the thing. I mean, if he's coming off of this injury, you think they want him playing day after day after day with no rest in between? Because in the Big 12 tournament, you'd be playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday if you keep winning.
Uh-huh.
That's not to say that they wouldn't play him Thursday and then say, hey, okay, we're not going to play him back-to-back and we'll try to play him on Saturday. But I just can't see them saying, okay, he's been out this long, now we're going to play him 3 straight days.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The other thing is that you kind of look at this team now. I mean, they beat the number 11 team in the country. I mean, and Baylor was trying hard to win that game. I mean, it's not like there wasn't any. So he's kind of like, okay, well, you insert him into the lineup now. How does that mess you up a little bit? Does that hurt your flow? I mean, you've been playing with him so long at this point without him, you know, for a number of games now. Are you to a point where you're used to playing without him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much of a factor can he be for you?
He can still be a factor if he was healthy enough to play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd be questioning putting him in there.
Yeah, it's just how many minutes can he give you and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I think your point of playing Thursday and Friday and Saturday is spot on.
I just don't think that's something they'd want to do.
Now, here's the deal. If you get to the championship game on Saturday, you know, could he spot you a few minutes?
Only if you think he's ready to go.
Only if you think he's ready to
can't
go.
Can't be decided by just you're in the championship game of the Big 12 tournament. Again, if you feel like you have any chance to get him healthy for the actual tournament, that's what you're doing.
Yeah. This question from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Did the teams with the byes go to Kansas City at the same time as the other team? Or is there some kind of media requirement that makes them go early? Not aware of any media requirement that makes them go early.
I'm sure that's 100% coach's decision.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I think that's up to the teams. I know last week, you know, there were a number of teams that you know, because you had the double byes in place for the women as well, that the teams that had the double bye, they weren't there. I will say this, Iowa State was playing the winner of the Texas Tech Baylor game, and the Iowa State team was there, but I mean, that's a short drive for them. I mean, coming down from Ames, but they were there to watch that game, and then they left, you know, after that game was over. So somebody says this, it does kind of feel like we've established chemistry without him. Yeah, it feels a little bit like that, doesn't it? 7:24 and some change this morning.
I think you can find a spot for a 7-footer.
You can find a spot for him to stand.
Yeah, who can score and rebound and all the above. Yeah. You know, hey, guys, this is Warren. I don't know if you know Warren, but Warren is here. He's 7 feet tall. He can rebound, and we can toss it near the rim, and he can jump out of the gym and dunk it. So you may not know Warren, but toss the ball up near the rim, and you'll like him. He's a good guy.
Jamie's question of the day is next. That was really good.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen, my question for you today involves Red Raider basketball in the Big 12 tournament. Two-parter. I want you to tell me who's going to win it. And if you don't have the Red Raiders winning it, I want you to tell me against who and what round will they be knocked out.
Okay. I think Houston is on a mission to win the Big 12, not only the regular season, which they did, but also the Big 12 postseason tournament. So I'm going to say Houston will win it. And I think Houston, because you won't fit, they'll knock you out in the semifinals. Because I think Tech will win its game in the quarterfinals, and then I think they lose to Houston in the semifinals against the Cougars.
Okay.
Yep. Wow, I'm boring. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay. I can't hate on that answer. I'm going to take Iowa State to win it.
Oh,
I know
wow.
They lost on Saturday, but I think the home crowd will be large for them.
Mm-hmm, no doubt.
I'll take the number 2 seed Iowa State to upset Houston in the finals. And just like you guys, I have the Cougars knocking out the Red Raiders on Friday night. Although I'm and just probably the pessimistic, nervous Nancy and me, I'm nervous about a matchup with BYU.
The first set of Cougars.
Yeah.
Just because they're, I mean, you live and die with the 3. Man, it can be one of those days where they can not miss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They had one of those halves against us.
Mm-hmm.
And we shut them down the second half, but I'm nervous about them.
It will be interesting to see what the crowd is like for those early games, because I think you're right. There's no question that Baylor Iowa State and if K-State can get by Texas, you know, we'll have huge, huge crowds there at the T-Mobile Center there in downtown Kansas City. And I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know that Kansas can get by Baylor. So it could be Baylor and Iowa State then playing for that right to play for the championship. That wouldn't surprise me at all, because I think Baylor's just, I mean, they're a pretty good basketball team. They're gonna make some noise in the tournament.
To be honest, it'll be interesting to see how Kansas bounces back from their performance on Saturday.
Yeah, plus their big guy dislocated his shoulder, so they don't. I don't know what the Hunter Dickinson. I don't know what the status of him is going to be, at least for the Big 12 tournament.
They should trade him back to Michigan.
They could, yeah. They could trade him back to Michigan. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. I will tell you this: I didn't know how it was going to go for the women's side. You know, in terms of when they made the move from Municipal Auditorium, which is a much smaller arena, much more intimate arena, to the T-Mobile, which is obviously an 18,000-seat facility. They did put curtains down in the upper decks, but, you know, they had – it was a great atmosphere for what I saw for the two games that the Lady Raiders played. And then my understanding is the – it looked like there were going to be bigger crowds. I mean, there weren't going to be crowds like the men, but I mean, but just the setting and the vibe and just the lighting and kind of how everything went, I thought it was a great move by the Big 12 to do that, to put everything in at that arena and have everything go there. I mean, it didn't give you a feeling of a empty place. Like I wondered if it would. So I thought it was a good spot for the women to be in too. But those games this weekend should be huge in terms of attendance there at the Big 12 basketball tournament. But that's it's kind of boring. But you're right. I think Houston's gonna cut down the nets on Saturday. But we'll see what Iowa State has to say about things. But you're right. They'll have huge crowds. They had huge crowds for the women, the Iowa State fans did.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming early to watch the other games, too, scouting them out. So we shall see. All right, 7:37 this morning here on The Morning Drive. Take your thoughts and comments in the 8 Scoring Center chat line. Go to TT973.com for that of the mobile app. I don't know if you saw this or not. I don't know what your total opinion on this would be, but I thought it was kind of cool. That they did this for him, although I was kind of surprised, but they hung a banner for Jim Nance at the Fertitta Center based on his longtime contributions to college basketball. The banner says, Jim Nance, voice of March Madness, 1991 to 2023.
I think that's very cool.
Yeah, so his banner is up there with the likes of Elvin Hayes, Clyde Drexler, and Akeem Olajuwon, all of whom played there at the University of Houston. Nance was at the game on Saturday. He was there as a fan, not working. He is not going to be a part of college basketball moving forward in terms of calling the Final Four games or calling games. I'm not saying he's never going to call one again, but he made that call himself last year and said that he has done calling NCAA tournament games, and his last one was last year. So,
did you pour one out for your homie?
Did I what now?
Pour one out for your homie. Have you never heard that phrase before?
Who is his homie?
Who is my homie?
Jim Nance.
He's my homie?
He's your homie.
How is, I'm just,
'cause he's a broadcaster. Did you pour one out to, you know, give respect to the guy who's not doing it anymore?
No.
Wow, I figured that you would have held a shrine or something for him.
I did not. I mean, I like Jim Nance. I'm not, you know.
Hence why you would pour one out for your homie.
I don't know that he's.
I thought that was if your like homie died.
If they're not doing what they're doing anymore, you could still pour one out.
And to call somebody a homie, don't you have to know them?
Yeah, I've never met him.
Had to speak words.
When has that ever stopped us from doing something for somebody else before?
I've never.
No, you can call Bill Walton his homie. They partied together.
This guy is a tiger in a trance in a state of circumstance, and I love all things Chuck.
Yeah, see?
7:39 this morning here.
Match made in heaven, man.
The Morning Drive.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thank you for being with us with Jamie Lint and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Come to you from the First United Bank studio. Look forward to hearing from you on the 8th Scoring Center chat line. That could be ringtones for all of the Texas Tech men's track team. I could play that over and 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 over again and never, ever get tired of it.
Wes Kittley walk-up music.
Yes, it could be, no doubt. Just like ahead of him, you know, wherever he goes. Like, you know, it could be.
Some people get hailed to the chief.
Yeah.
He gets queen. We are the champions.
Yes, yes. No doubt about it. Congratulations to the Texas Tech men's track team as they won the indoor national championship. And I don't know how much time they get off before the outdoor season starts, but I think it's underway. It's funny. I was watching the baseball game yesterday, and I saw hurdles on the track over there over the right field wall. I'm like, yep, it's no rest for the weary. they'll get right back at it as far as that is concerned. All right, we've talked quite a bit of Red Raider basketball here for a little bit, and has spent some time in the 6 o'clock hour on Red Raider baseball quite a bit. But Jamie, a couple things here from the Yates Flooring Center chat line with regard to Texas Tech baseball from over the weekend. Jack Washburn was really animated when he got pulled. Felt like it was time because they were spraying him all over the field, but asking him to get extra outs hurt his length. But they also did that to everyone. TU can really hit. Did you feel like that he was time? Did you think that once Coach Tadlock came out, once he comes out of the dugout, pretty much that pitcher is gone, right?
More times than not, but not every time. Usually Coach Gardner comes out if he just wants to talk to him. But sometimes Coach Tadlock, you saw yesterday, he comes out to talk strategy with the entire infield.
Mm-hmm.
But more times than not, if he's coming out just to talk to the pitcher, he's making a change.
But it didn't surprise you that, I mean, you want a pitcher that wants to be in there, but on the other hand, was it time for him to come out?
Yeah, I mean, they were hitting balls hard against him all day long. You would kind of felt like you were living on borrowed time a little bit.
Three and a third is what Washburn went. Three runs is what he gave up. Two of them were earned. Struck out a couple, faced 15 batters, and threw 56 pitches in the ball game. What do you think's going on with Trendon Parrish? He gave up five runs, four hits. There, four of them were earned. Walked one, struck out two, faced 11 batters, but went just an inning and a third.
What do you think was going on with Trendon Parrish in his last two outings?
He's not throwing the ball away from them, or he's kind of serving it up to him a little bit. Maybe it's elevated a little bit. I
thought his last two outings were good.
Oh, the two previous. Oh, the two previous to this one. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well,
he was not good yesterday.
He was not good yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, his slider didn't feel like it had cut to it, and it was just hanging over the plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really the left-handers that were really just feasting off of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess my point in asking that question is, he was not good yesterday.
He had one bad outing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. Bobby, hot dogs.
But you're in a situation right now, it feels like, where, I mean, you could, looking back at it, say, oh, man, got to get a quicker hook there.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on it, you could talk about two balls that went off the top of Gavin Cash's glove, where Gavin did everything he could, but inches away from being outs.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's some bad luck involved there. There was one blooper in there as well. But, you know, ultimately they were hitting it. Besides that one, it felt like they were hitting it pretty hard. If you had a lot of confidence in somebody else behind him, you know, you're just trying to stretch this thing to the end, right? You know, you got 27 outs to get.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the problem is that they didn't feel like at that moment that they felt like, hey, because he, you know, gave up three in one inning and then two in the next, they didn't feel like, hey, we got somebody else to go to instead.
Yeah.
And that, you know, never really worked out for you.
I did not go to the baseball game yesterday. I listened to it and watched it. So I wasn't at the game yesterday. I don't want you to feel like that I was.
I didn't question that.
Well, a couple people in the chat line did. If I said it was 7:07, I'm sorry. It's 8:07 this morning. I'm still kind of
Jeff, we got to get that clock fixed.
Flip forward. Yeah.
There in front of us.
I don't want to blame it on that, but I mean,
but it's right there flashing in front of you.
Yeah.
It's hard not to notice.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me ask you this. Big Mac, Mac Hewer, is that Big Mac? Is that a approved nickname for him yet, or?
I have no idea.
Okay, it's not something you guys have given him yet, though, right?
I think we've called him Big Mac Hewer, but I don't know that we've coined that as nickname.
Okay, didn't know if that was approved or not.
We've called other guys Big too.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I mean
Big Brendan Lysick or whatever.
Yeah, well, he was a big positive for you on Saturday, wasn't he? A big positive for this pitching staff, right?
No, Lysick pitched yesterday. Or Hewer, you're talking about.
Hewer,
yeah. He was terrific this weekend. Yeah. He was maybe one of the highlights of the weekend of what you have but hopefully you can see moving forward with this young man. You know, again, you saw what the Texas offense did on Friday and Sunday, scoring 22 runs one day and four home runs, and then I don't know how many homers they hit yesterday, scoring nine runs. They hit four more yesterday. I don't know. It's kind of hard to keep track of. And I mean, he holds them to two runs on three hits, two solo home runs on Saturday against that offense. That's really impressive for a freshman making his second career start and his first in Big 12 play and all that kind of stuff. Without his performance, it could have been a really ugly weekend.
Yeah. You know who Trenton Parrish's hair reminds me of? His hair. The way
I'm
it comes.
To guess, yeah.
So, I mean, you got to kind of, this is a little before your time, but not really. It's early in your time, but it's.
Okay.
But I think he's a blonde version of Don Sutton.
Don Sutton. Okay.
The way that his hair comes out the back of his, of his head. Of his hat like that, but I mean that is some blonde hair. Does he dye that or is that natural?
No, he dyes it.
Okay,
yes.
I just want to make sure.
Yes. As a freshman, he was a similar color, and then last year he went back to his normal black, and now this year
black is a normal. Okay,
yeah, or brown, whatever. Okay. I don't know. And then this year he's blonde again.
Okay.
You know, it's just disappointing. I mean, just again, I felt like he's. He's put together some solid outings. Not dominant or anything. He didn't have it yesterday.
Just one of those things.
He didn't have it yesterday, and the same thing could be said of Robinson on Friday.
We get this. Mac, you are 6'5", 265 equals Big Mac. Okay.
I bet we wouldn't be the first.
No.
Yeah.
No.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.